Hi, this is Addie Lohman. I'm a ninth grader at East Troy High School. I play three sports and live on Lake Beulah. Today I'll be talking about how the average East Troy student can find the keys to success. I chose this topic because as a student, I know how easily it can be to get stressed and how hard it is to not worry about school, a sport, or your friends. I did some research and chose different topics to focus on. I think they cover a wide variety and really dig into how the average East Troy student can improve their day-to-day life. So the first topic that I'm going to focus on is exercise and meditation. Exercise can help relieve stress, it'll help you sleep better, it can treat anxiety, and sometimes it even helps control ADHD. I really enjoy running and doing core workouts because they help me release stress in my body. Also, working out, it boosts my self-confidence, which is important to me. I read that working out releases endorphins in your body, which make you happy. So I realized that after a hard workout, I can reflect and it makes the rest of my day a bit easier. According to Google, meditation is an ancient practice that helps control our mind, our own life, and discovering ourselves. I like to meditate to turn off my mind and recharge myself. It's easy for my brain to get all clustered and discombobulated, which makes me more stressed and gives me anxiety. Meditation helps me get in control and calm myself down. Why I think an East Troy student should consider exercising and meditating. If more students took part in exercising and meditating, the environment around us would change. It would keep the students at a healthy state of mind and make it easier to get through the school day. So the next topic that I'll be talking about is getting enough sleep. So how you feel when you are awake is in result of how you slept. Sleep deprivation can result in mood swings, it can make you feel sad or depressed, and it can cause a lack of motivation. Sleep is important for growth and development, especially for young teens. To get a good night's sleep, there's many things that you can do. But first, what I like to do is put my phone away in a spot where I won't be tempted to check Snapchat or browse through Instagram. Then what I like to do is drink a tall glass of water or warm milk to help settle my stomach to reduce any chance of me needing a midnight snack. Finally, I turn off the lights in my room except for a small nightlight and turn a fan on to drown out the noise. As you may have already realized, I have a schedule. Schedules are important because they can help keep you consistent and make it easier for yourself to go to bed. Why I think an East Troy student could consider coming up with a sleep schedule. An East Troy student could benefit from a sleep schedule because it will help their body re-energize and grow the proper way. As students' lives become stressful, a sleep schedule can help them calm down. I know personally that my sleep schedule has helped me get to bed easier and I'm not up as late, and it kind of helps my body just settle down for the day. For my next topic, I'm going to be doing an interview with my dad about being optimistic. So what does being optimistic mean to you?
So to give you a little background on where I'm coming from when I answer this question, I have worked in the field of criminology, drug and alcohol treatment for the past 27 years yesterday. So over the years, I have worked with, interviewed, counseled literally hundreds, and at this point, maybe even thousands of people. So as far as optimistic, I would say that what comes to mind would be people that are hopeful. Along with that comes confidence and self-esteem. I think just looking at my client base, oftentimes I'm met with people that have been through the judicial system and are now either on probation, parole, or in some type of legal snares, stemming from the choices that they've made, their behaviors, their high-risk lifestyle. Oftentimes it involves substance abuse. So an optimistic person, I would say, is self-confident. For the most part, they don't rely on the approval of others. For somebody, I suppose, your age, Addie, optimists probably don't succumb to peer pressure as easily because they, I would say because they don't rely on the approval of their peers. They typically see the world around them as a place where if they work hard, good things are going to happen. And if along with that comes some bad things, but that's just part of life, and they overcome because they're hopeful.
So what do you think is the first step in living optimistically, especially for your clients and the people that you work with? And like, what would you tell a student what they could do to be optimistic?
Okay, so in taking steps, I guess relating it to the work that I do, we oftentimes steer our discussions towards realizing the difference between high risk and low risk lifestyles. If I'm sitting across the table from somebody my age, I can compare the decisions that I've made in my life, professionally, personally, point out the differences in some of the decisions that person has made. I feel like I'm kind of stumbling here, but oftentimes it involves taking responsibility. If I have a bad day at work, if I disappoint my supervisor, if I fail to get some work to the courts on time, if I miss an appointment, a whole slew of things that can happen on a daily basis. I don't blame anybody but myself. I take responsibility for it. I apologize and I make it right. Somebody who's not an optimist, if they're late to an appointment, their knee-jerk reaction is not to say I'm sorry or apologize or take responsibility. Oftentimes I find that their reflex is to blame other people. It's either the traffic or my car or somebody delayed me getting here on time or the elevator or whatever it is. It's a default response mechanism is to blame other people or to look to place blame somewhere else rather than take responsibility.
So what would you tell a person who blames others except for themselves and taking on responsibility? What would you tell them to do instead next time, other than saying, oh, it was my car, or I was stuck in traffic, or somebody stopped me in the road or something?
So what I would do would be to have them explain a situation to me, whatever it is, whether it was, I guess for a practical application, if I'm dealing with somebody who ended up with some type of domestic violence situation where he or she got in a fight and ended up hurting somebody, the police were called, there was legal ramifications, and now they're dealing with me. A lot of times I'll tell them to write down the situation from beginning to end, because it happened a long time ago, and now you can describe what happened and detail it and recall it without any emotional responses. And then we talk about each and every opportunity for a different choice that could have been made that would have resulted in a different outcome.
So a student could use this if they didn't prepare for a test right, or if they got a homework assignment in late. They could think about everything that they did before and then maybe use that to work on what they could do next time instead.
Exactly. I would have them write down the itinerary for the day and suggest or encourage them to find opportunities throughout that day where they could have made a few different choices that would have prioritized that assignment in order to get it in on time. Another situation could be, say, a student gets in trouble because of they were with the wrong people in the wrong place at the wrong time, and now they're in trouble for it. So an optimist, when they are invited somewhere and hey, there might be beer there, or there might be the wrong kind of crowd there, an optimist doesn't feel the pressure to be there, to be liked, to be popular, because in general optimists are confident and they feel good about themselves and they don't feel like they need to fit in, because They feel like they're going to be themselves and good is going to happen. And they tend to flock together. So optimists tend to find people that are like-minded to hang out with. And if they don't have anybody at that moment, they don't necessarily feel lonely either, because they're always looking. They're future oriented. They're pro-social, and they're always looking for the best. So one weekend alone, or if they're going to miss a party, they think, well, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on there that might not result in good things coming out of it, because what if we get caught? Then I can't play in the game. I might get suspended. What are my parents going to think if it goes on my permanent record? Again, it all relates to low and high risk lifestyles. So optimists typically live low risk lifestyles because they plan accordingly. They see the good in what's going on. They don't get discouraged. They don't get depressed when things don't go their way, because they're always looking for the silver lining.
So is there anything that you would say to be more optimistic that you wouldn't want to focus on? Or if something bad happened, like, is there anything that you would do to like help that person prepare? Like if there's something negative in their life, how would they deal?
Typically what we do is we look at everything. How do I explain this related to school? We relate high-risk lifestyles to antisocial behavior. We relate low-risk lifestyles to pro-social behaviors. So we can do like an audit of your life right here and now, this moment. You write down, who are all my friends? What are my friends involved with? What do my friends do after school, weekends? Are my friends hanging out together, studying, building one another up, looking out for each other's best interests? Or are they living risky lifestyles where they're out later than they should be? Are they dabbling in substances that they shouldn't be? Optimists have healthy relationships with their friends. People that are a little more negative or not optimistic, they typically hang with people who they can hang with because they might live on the fringe and they don't quite fit in, and they don't think ahead of what's going to happen when they go to that party where they know there's things going on that shouldn't be going on. So rather than make the choice to stay home and maybe call somebody else who's not going, they just go along for the ride. Typically, optimists perform better in school and at work. It's not that they're pleasers, but they make the right choices. So they impress their supervisors, they impress their teachers, they impress their coaches, because they work hard and they care about themselves. They care about how they perform. They care about their grades. People that have a higher risk lifestyle, they typically have problematic relationships. They typically have lower level employment that maybe doesn't necessarily meet their financial needs. Typically they have less stability in their life. The friends come and go quite a bit. Relationships, significant others, they just go from one to another because they don't work out, because neither of them takes responsibility for anything that ever goes wrong. Optimists find people who are problem solvers. They build one another up. When something goes wrong, they're not blaming each other. They're looking to solve the problem. They're looking ahead. They have less conflict with authority. They have less conflict at work. They get along better with coworkers, with their supervisors. And I'm guessing that if kids are optimistic, they'll get along better with their teachers, with their coaches, with their peer group. So it's a lifestyle of confidence, and it's a lifestyle of always assuming that good is going to come because you're making the right decisions and you're keeping your head up. And yeah.
Well, thank you for your time and your input on how to be optimistic.
You're very welcome.
All in all, finding the keys to success include living a low-risk lifestyle versus a high-risk lifestyle and being more optimistic about your world. It's important to have a healthy mind and a healthy soul. It'll improve your mental health. Sleep is essential for your mental health, and if you don't get enough of it, studies have proved that you'll have difficulty getting up throughout the day. Eastray students should be more involved with these topics and learn more about how they can benefit their lives. Hopefully, this podcast has helped them learn a little bit more about finding the keys to success and giving them more information on how to do it. Thank you for listening. Bye.